बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
प्लीज रीड द 30th ट्रांसलेशन प्लीज।
माय डियर विदुरा, ऑल गुड फॉर्च्यून अंटू यू। द फूलिश किंग हु थॉट हिमसेल्फ वेरी लर्नड thus insulted the great sages, and the sages, being broken-hearted by the king's words, became very angry at him.
Because of he himself, Pandita Manina, is written, considered himself very learned. So, asat krataha, he insulted the great sages. They became broken-hearted by the king's words. And why they became broken-hearted is explained in the future verses. Because they were very angry to see somebody disrespecting the Supreme Lord. Because the sages cannot be made broken-hearted by insulting words. They are not such cheap people. In this world, you insult somebody, they become broken-hearted. But sages are all advanced devotees. I mean, they are learned people. So, if somebody insults them, they will not become broken-hearted. But if somebody insults the Supreme Lord, they will become wild. So, therefore, sometimes we wonder why Prabhupada became so angry with a Mayavadi on the stage along with him. Because then a Mayavadi would talk anything ill of Krishna, Prabhupada cannot tolerate. Just like if somebody talks ill of your mother or father, you cannot tolerate. Correct, no? Because spiritually Prabhupada feels such connection. So, similarly the sages became broken-hearted and angry, seeing that Vena is insulting the Supreme Lord, isn't it? Read the next 131.
Hare Krishna. All the great saintly sages immediately cried, "Kill him! Kill him! He is the most dreadful sinful person. If he lives, he will certainly turn the whole world into ashes in no time."
Because the king here, Vena, is an atheist. So, the whole world will be turned into atheism by such a king. So, therefore, like for example, in Russia, they had communism, isn't it? So communism is also atheism. So therefore, for a long period of time, the communism caused people to be kept in darkness. So nobody knew about anything about religion, God, and books. Religious books were banned. Nobody could take them in. But once the ISKCON went in, they preached. So now, if you go to Russia, like Puna Yatra, they also have Puna Yatra type of festival. 14,000 initiated Vaishnavas come for such a program. In Russia, we have 14,000 initiated. They are saying that over and above that also, there are many uninitiated who join also. And they have one festival in Russia now, which they do once in a year. In this festival, they have a huge, pandal, like this kind of hall where you can pick up, t-shirts, dhoti, kurta, saris, you can pick up all Vaishnava items. And it is like pay as you like. They have a hundi box. If you want, you can put money. If you want to take it free, you can take it free. And this they have been doing for last more than 10 years. And every year they say the profit they make is double or triple of the actual cost. Amazing, na? Very amazing. Yeah, they have been doing it. I don't know if in India, if you do it, whether it will be successful. People ask, is it free? Is it free? People ask. So there they allow them free. You can take tilak box. You can take, different bead bags. Different things they keep display. Just like in our gift stall we have like that. So it is called as gift stall, but you have to pay also. But there you can pay or you need not pay. So that's a very big festival. So how so many Vaishnavas have come? Because all these years they were suppressed. Getting access to religious books. The moment Bhagavad Gita as it is, Bhagavatam went, a lot of devotees picked up. You see? So, but why I was telling, in such a country, in Russia, in the communist country, one leader, one king, he arranged for his statue to be made in more than 150-200 places. And he wants him to be worshipped, like Vena wanted to be worshipped. See, they are saying don't worship God, but he wants him to be worshipped. What kind of logic is that? Basically, he wants to push God aside and put himself there. So now Krishna has entered there and pushed him aside, isn't it? So now the communism is finished, it has collapsed also. So in this way the atheistic vena also, when they saw that he is dismissing God and he is actually trying to put himself in God's position and spreading atheism everywhere, they were very worried. Kill him, they are saying. You see, there can be atrocious leader in various ways. One type of atrocious leader is one who is an atheist. Another atrocious leader is like Ravana, is dressing himself up like a sadhu and coming to steal away Sita, correct? Or Indra, you find, is coming as a Kapalika sannyasi, you know, changing sannyasi, different. And he is also misguiding the public, cheating, correct, no? Or you find Konka Venka. So these people imitated Rishabhadev by superficially practicing that type of Avadhuta Vesh. And they were also cheating the public just for popularity. So these are examples in Shastra where somebody hypocritically can cheat the public. And also atheistic leader may dismiss all the religious gatherings and programs. He may not allow the people to, like for example in Gulf, if you are in Gulf, and Gulf openly you cannot, you know, have Rath Yatra, you know. Like in India, we have Hindus, Muslims, Christians. Everybody has the freedom to celebrate their festivals openly. Like Christians can celebrate Christmas. Muslims can have their, what do you call it, on their Ramzan day, procession, Bakrid, correct, no? They are allowed to. Similarly, we can go for Rath Yatra. Our India is a very open country. It has always welcomed people of all sorts from all over the world. It's a sympathetic country towards all. But in Gulf, also Hare Krishna devotees are practicing little underground. They are practicing. But there is not so much freedom there, you will find. So you find if a government is atheistic, they will prohibit children having, you know, prayer gathering in the morning, in the schools. Correct, no? They can't come and worship the Lord. Similarly, they may even ban all temples. You cannot have temple. You cannot have Rath Yatra procession. And you cannot sell religious books in the market. So many restrictions will be made. Therefore, they are saying, kill him. Because if one man at the top is an atheist, so the atheistic program will be handed down. Now, this atheism can also take another avatar, which is called materialism. When atheism takes the shape of materialism, materialistic leader at the top, there is one college, I don't want to mention the name. This college owner, he made this college so posh. They have swimming pools. They have, you know, table tennis courts. And the boys, girls come from affluent families. If you have to study engineering there, 40, 50 lakh you have to spend for studying there. And you get seats also are very costly. You have to pay and buy the seats. So, but he's a big politician who has made the college and a very popular college. So, but in that college I heard every year about 10 to 15 people commit suicide, students. But none of them will be published in the paper. Why? Because he's the top man. Top man is a politician. So, he has told newspaper people, nobody should publish anything. So, outside world doesn't know it. But the students come and tell us, in this way people are committing suicide. And why they are committing suicide, if you see, the teachers are telling the students in the class, kao pivo majakaro, eat, drink and be merry. And they say, no need to follow values, morals, no need to worship God. Life is for enjoying. So they call it as a lolo, they call it, live only life once. Lolo. So, live only life once means just live out this life in for the whole life, just enjoy life. Who knows what will happen after death. So this kind of teachers are saying like that, and the leader himself is an atheist at the top. So the students, when they do eat, drink and be merry, sometimes they end up in committing suicide. You will see like that. So in this way, atheistic leader can also propagate materialistic civilization down, from top to down, making all the people. So therefore, they are saying, kill him. So atheism leads to havoc in the because there is no varnashrama, there is no character, there is no moral, there is no spirituality. The whole society becomes, Prabhupada says, you know, like a dog-eat-dog situation. He says, you know, in BTG, one time there was a picture, the whole page they had put, you know, dogs, full of dogs, one dog they had put like this, dogs fully. But the dog is wearing coat, suit, tie and everything. Like that they had put. They put dog. So, and then in between one human being they have put. Basically what they are saying is the society has become society of dogs. That kind of society they are. So therefore they thought that if this one fellow is at the top, he will ruin the society. So Chanakya says, in one family, if one person will ruin the society, he should be cast away. And that's why our Vidura told Dhritarashtra that you cast away this child. Who? Duryodhana. He is a Krishna dvid. He is a envious of Lord Krishna. Because if you cast him away, tomorrow he cannot become the king and your Kaurava race will be protected. But Dhritarashtra did not do that. So for the sake of one family, one member can be cast away. For the sake of one village, one family can be cast away. Similarly, for the sake of one country, you know, one state may be casted away if it is, you know, unruly and everything. Similarly, for the sake of the protection of the entire world, one country can be sacrificed. And for the sake of God, this whole world can be sacrificed. Either he says. So here also, your this fellow Vena, he may be a so-called king, but he's creating atrocities. And he is lording over, like a poisonous snake earlier as it is said. So now they are saying kill him. Read the purport.
Hare Krishna. Saintly persons are generally very kind to all kinds of living entities. But they are not unhappy when a serpent or a scorpion is killed.
Yeah, modeta sadhara vrishchika sarpahatya. Prahlad says, you know, even a saintly person is happy to see a serpent killed because serpent is such a creature, even if you don't do anything, still it will bite you. Similarly, Vena was such a creature, although Brahmanas were peacefully doing yajna, he went and stopped them. So, read that further, finish off that paragraph.
It is not good for saintly persons to kill, but they are encouraged to kill demons, who are exactly like serpents and scorpions. Therefore, all the saintly sages decided to kill King Vena, who was so dreadful and dangerous to all human society. We can appreciate the extent to which the saintly sages actually control the king. If the king or government becomes demoniac, it is the duty of a saintly person to upset the government and replace it with deserving persons who follow the orders and instructions of saintly persons.
See, Prabhupada giving a clue. That means Prabhupada says the knowledge should control the power, not that the power should control knowledge. The Brahmanas represent wisdom and the king represents power. So the power should be guided by wisdom, not that the wisdom is subdued by power. Now what is happening? Nowadays all over the world, who are at the top if you see? The economic lords. In India and abroad, all over the world, the people who are business class people, they have crores and crores of rupees. So they control the education system in the schools and colleges also. They are saying don't teach moral science because the children will become very spiritual minded and they will not have enthusiasm for economic development. Therefore, remove the subject. This is their preaching. The same way what Hiranyakashipu said. Hiranyakashipu told to whom? Shandamarga. Teach them politics, diplomacy, economic development and don't teach them Vishnu science. Isn't it? Moral science and science of devotional service. Don't teach that. Because he became afraid that children will become very contented, satisfied, enthusiastic in devotional activities. They will have good sanskaras. They will be mild-natured, obedient, and loving towards all. They will not see friend and enemy difference. This he didn't want. Because he wanted his son to become demoniac. Correct, no? Same way here also, he is saying that he became dangerous to all human society. And also, here the Brahmanas represent wisdom and they are controlling the king. Who has the, the power to rule over people. So, the knowledge, the wisdom should control the power. Which means the wisdom is supposed to control and guide the power. Otherwise, the power can be misused. Correct, no? What is the next one? 32?
The saintly sages continued, "This impious, impudent man does not deserve to sit on the throne at all. He is so shameless that he even dared insult the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu."
See, one point comes to my mind. When His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj came here, he was telling that when we go for big projects, we have to be very careful that the Krishna consciousness should be kept as the top priority. Otherwise, he said, one example he was telling, that when he goes to some very big temple, people tell him that, "Maharaj, please don't speak about demigods being inferior to Krishna. Maharaj, please don't talk about Sai Baba." You know, like that, they tell Maharaj, "Don't talk about it." And then Maharaj told them that, "You see, you have built a big temple so that lot of people can come and hear. So when people, lot of people come, you have to speak the truth. But then in big temple you make, you can't speak the truth, because if you speak the truth, some donors will get put off. And then they may not give donation." Correct, no? So you have the fear. Then he said, it's a paradox, he said. Why? Because we build a big temple to speak the truth, but to maintain the big temple, you can't speak the truth. You understand, no? So he said, it's a paradox. So then he was telling us that you make your temple in such a way that you can speak the truth also and still it will be maintained also. Then Krishna will be very happy. You understand, no? So, therefore, the wisdom should control money power as well as the management power, but not that the money controls, like a Brahmana should not be controlled by money. Correct, no? Like the official priest, you will see, they were appointed by the king and they were paid monthly salary. So they were completely controlled by the king. Correct, no? On the other hand, a Brahmana who does not take salary, like our Chanakya, so he could guide and control Chandragupta. One time Chandragupta asked, "You, Chanakya, you are telling me to do like this, but I am not happy with that idea." And Chanakya said, "Okay, you do what you wish, I resign," he said. Then Chandragupta said, "My lord, if you resign, then how will I get guidance?" He said, "Okay, then I'll follow what you said." He said, and how could Chanakya speak with so much guts, because he doesn't take any salary? This is actually the strength of a Brahmana. Brahmana gives knowledge free. He doesn't take any salary. He lives only on charity. The moment, even all of us as sadhus, if people sense that you have interest in money or you can be controlled by money, then they will lose respect for you. Like somebody tells you, "Prabhu, I will arrange a flight ticket. Can you come there?" Immediately if you show your delight, "Really? You will arrange a flight ticket for me? You consider me so important. Now that you are arranging flight ticket, I have to come." If somebody says like that, they will know that this fellow is easily controllable by money. Correct, no? So, actually, okay, they may make arrange a flight for you, but you have to first know what is the program there. You know, you understand, correct, no? Actually, as a sadhu, we have to check our pulse. How much are we enthusiastic? Actually, you will see that if somebody gives you money, then our mind becomes subdued by that person. How many of you agree? You understood? Correct, no? Yeah. Somebody is a big donor, like one fellow in one temple was a big donor. He was a young man, he was about 40-year-old man. He was giving monthly 50,000 rupees to the temple. So that brahmachari was asking me that, "Prabhu, you know, this person is giving 50,000 monthly. There is only one problem. He already has a wife and two children, but he is having an affair with one college girl, you know. So now we don't know what to do, you know." I said, "What to do? You tell him. You tell him these are the four regulative principles. You know, it is a great disrespect to your wife. You cannot do this." He said, "Prabhuji, we are afraid if we tell him this, then he may stop the donation." Correct, no? Then I said, "You are a sadhu. Sadhu should speak the truth. We should tell him. Because he is coming to temple. So he is giving you money for Krishna service and you are using it in Krishna service, which is very good. But at the same time, he is seeing you like a Guruji. Guruji should speak the truth. You should tell him this is not proper. You give him example of Ravana, how Ravana got destroyed. If you go after a college girl, then you will be destroyed also. You become a mini Ravana, correct? You may not tell so directly. But the idea is the truth must be spoken. Correct. And why this brahmachari is not able to speak the truth? Because he is fearful that then the money will not come. So therefore, the money or power should not control the wisdom. The wisdom should control the money and power. So this is, therefore we have to maintain our sadhutva. Therefore sadhus cannot be purchased by anybody. A true sadhu cannot be purchased by anybody. You know the story of the Jayadeva Goswami, correct? Who was that king who came to him? You give it to Radha Prabhu, he knows the pastime, he will tell. Give the mic.
The king Krishnachandra, he hears the Jayadeva Goswami's the Shavatara Shastra and other glorifications of the Lord. So he goes in, as a normal person to meet, and he requests him, can he come to his kingdom and become one of his court members? So immediately he says, because you have come here, now many people will come, I will be glorified. So he immediately leaves the place and he wanted to go to Jagannath Puri. So then the king requests, no, you stay here, we will not disturb you, we will give a secluded place. So this is King Krishnachandra.
King Krishnachandra. So Jayadeva Goswami is afraid of the popularity amongst the people. Because you become more and more popular, you become very visible, and then many materialistic people will approach for Ashirvad and everything. And he is also afraid to become the priest in the king's court, because you become purchased by a king, correct? No? And what is the meaning of becoming purchased? You have to do what he will say. One example I'll give you. Recently, two, three years ago, we heard that some big universities like we have Oxford, Cambridge and Harvard, we have now. Like that, one of the top universities from the West came to South India and went to Shankaracharya and asked, we will give you a very big donation. So would you like to be a part of our top in the doctorates which they offer? They had asked, and then Shankaracharya had agreed. You know, this Rajiv Dikshit, he writes this book, Breaking India. There is a second book also. What he says is, these people, the idea was what? If they take Shankaracharya into their fold, then they can say that Shankaracharya is also a part of our, panel or board or something like that. Then many Hindus would want to do doctorate under them. But when you go to do doctorate, what they do? 3, 4, 5 years of research you do. At the time of submitting your report, they will tell you to modify many things to suit the Christian approach. And many of the Hindu things they will ask you to cut what you have put in the project report. You cannot actually tell the truth. All the vital truths they will ask you to cut in order to suit their own Western ideologies. Now what most of the Indian boys do, doctorates, for them what is important? The doctorate is important or the truth is important? Yeah. So they curtail all those things and they make the truth. And then they publish those doctorates such as books, and they are coming out from the Western world, which means our Hinduism with all its truth has to bend down itself to their understanding, a Western ideology. You understand, no? So this is what I was telling. Here the wisdom is stunted by money and position. You understand, no? So therefore, Rajiv Dikshit and his team told Shankaracharya that you withdraw it yourself. Give back the money to them. So that let them not use your weight to attract the intelligentsia to their institute. Because what they are doing, so he showed the long-term cheating, what is going on. The cheating is not in the early stage. The cheating is in the last point. You understand now? At that point, most of the doctorates for them, they say, just give me the doctorate. I will do what you say. They are like that at that time. So like this, they are releasing thousands of doctorates and they are trying to mold them to what they want to do. You understand? No? So the point is, the brahmanas here, they are not controlled by money, or they are not controlled by the power of the king. Rather, they are killing the king here, who is an atheist and who is misguiding the public. What is that verse number? 30? 37? 32? Yeah, read further. Yeah. The saintly sages continued, "This impious, impudent man does not deserve to sit on the throne at all. He is so shameless that he even dared insult the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu." And Prabhupada writes in the purport, second line. First Prabhupada says that such Vaishnavas, they cannot tolerate the blasphemy and insults against Lord Vishnu or his devotees. A devotee is generally very humble and meek and is reluctant to pick up a quarrel with anyone. Nor does he envy anyone. However, a pure devotee immediately becomes fiery with anger when he sees that Lord Vishnu or his devotee is insulted. This is the duty of a devotee. Although a devotee maintains an attitude of meekness and gentleness, it's a great fault if he remains silent when Lord is blasphemed. Correct, no? Like the Prabhupada is saying about when we should utilize anger. He is saying that. So, let us read 33. Yeah, 33 read it.
"But for King Vena, who is simply inauspicious, who would blaspheme the personality of Godhead, by whose mercy one is awarded all kinds of fortune and opulence?"
Yeah. You know, yasya anuvrittya kritino babhuvima. That was told by Dwarakavasis. Simply by becoming your follower, we achieved all prosperity in our life, they are saying. Whereas this person, Vena, is ruining his life by opposing the Supreme Lord, they are saying. Read the 34.
"The great sages, thus manifesting their covert anger, immediately decided to kill the king. King Vena was already as good as dead due to his blasphemy against Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, without using any weapons, the sages killed King Vena simply by high-sounding words."
That's what they said. So that's called sonic death.
Sonic.
Yes. By sound they finished him, simply by the dissatisfaction sound. Read the next one.
After all, the sages returned to their respective hermitages. The mother of King Vena, Sunita, became very much aggrieved because of her son's death. She decided to preserve the dead body of her son by the application of certain ingredients and by chanting mantras."
See the heading, what I have given heading, 18th one.
Sentimental attachment.
Yeah. So the mother's attachment to your child is beyond nyaya, beyond dharma, beyond any rule of this world. Although Vena was atrocious, still she has a sentimental attachment to the fellow as a son. So she is preserving the dead body by putting some certain type of herbal. There are some herbal items like Ayurvedic items similar to that, by which the body can be preserved for a longer time. And then, along with that, she is also arranging to chant some mantras to preserve the body. Read the 36.
"Once upon a time, the same..."
So one point about the sentimental attachment is, actually, Sunita could have avoided giving permission to the Brahmanas while making Vena the king. Correct, no? Ministers already didn't want Vena as the king. But Sunita, what did she say? She gave permission. So why she gave permission? My son. Although Vena was her son, from a very logical point of view, he doesn't deserve to be king. Okay, in case she told, my son is a very cruel son and he's an atheistic son. So better, instead of my son, let somebody else's son become the king. If she allowed that, but that will require discrimination and keeping in mind the larger welfare of the whole world. But do you think she could think like that? Why she could not think? Huh? That is sentimental attachment. Is that on the board? Sentimental attachment. That means, even if my son is an atheistic son, even if my son is a cruel son, even if the whole world will suffer, I will have the pride of having my son as the king. That is called sentimental attachment. Same with Dhritarashtra, correct, no? Dhritarashtra knew Pandavas are more virtuous and Duryodhana is very sinful. It's not that he wasn't aware. But the only reason why he wanted Duryodhana as a king was, what is the reason? He is my son. So, I will have the pride of having my son become the king. See, this is called nepotism, we call it. Nepotism means favoritism towards one's blood relationships. So, a devotee should be above this. Huh? We have to be equal to all. Like for example, if she was a truly intelligent woman, she should have contemplated on the welfare of the world, like the sages are contemplating. Correct? No? She could ask the sages, is there anyone besides my son who could occupy the post? If you all feel that's possible, please kindly do the needful. And you can keep my son as the last resort. Correct? No? Like that. Therefore, even we people, we may sometimes, due to our own sentimental attachment, we may, for example, I can do a service mediocre, for example. Somebody can do a service in a better way, which will cause better welfare for all. So what I should do? I should ask another devotee who can do better service, which will give welfare for all, isn't it? Rather than oneself. If oneself is doing it, then that's only, what do you call it? Sentimental attachment. Because I want to do it, correct? No? I or my. So that's why we have written the topic, sentimental. So now the Vena was killed, still she is attached to him after killing also. She is preserving the body. Huh? Maybe she is hoping that maybe in future somebody will help me to get up this boy. Huh? And I may get up and come again. Maybe I will request the sages to revive him or something. Sentimental attachment. Yeah. Read further.
Once upon a time, the same saintly persons, after taking their bath in river Saraswati, began to perform their daily duties by offering oblations into sacrificial fires. After this, sitting on the bank of river, they began to talk about transcendental person and his pastimes.
Read the theme.
Engage in Harikatha, not unnecessary political talks.
Yeah. Just now some political thing has happened recently. What has happened? Huh? Yeah, killing of Vena. Now the Brahmanas are coming together in the bank of a river. What river? Saraswati. As soon as they meet, what do you think the talk is likely to start with? Gaya abhi, mar gaya abhi. Correct, no? And then some another Brahmana may say, Aishata, Vaishata, Itana Purata, he never allowed us to do this. All Prajalpa can start. But here what they were doing, see that? After sitting on the bank of the river, they began to talk about who? Transcendental person and his pastimes. That means the default option for Brahmanas is what? Subject. Huh? Prajalpa? Huh? Harikatha, yeah. Correct. Harikatha is default option for them. But occasionally they may talk about, you know, the worldly politics or, you know, somebody is creating trouble. But in general, they talk about Harikatha only. Like you find Shukadeva Goswami is saying, Shottavyadini Rajendra Ninamsanti Sahasra Apashyatam Atma Dattvam. So these kinds of things he talks, but very occasionally. But most of the talks are directly pastimes of the Lord. So we also should take this note in our life. 90-95% we should be talking glorification of the Lord. That is general default option. And 5-10% we may also criticize, you know, atheistic people and, you know, people who are not letting the propagation of Krishna consciousness movement once in a while. That is all right. Because otherwise what happens? The Harikatha goes to background and Prajalpa comes to forefront, which is not allowed. So in this way, yeah, actually after the next verse I will take it. Because next verse is connected to this theme. So, which means, you know, a big thing has happened among the Brahmanas only. Spelled out Hunkara and then they killed them. So now when they are meeting, there is no interest to talk about the Vena's bad qualities and, you know, how we killed him. Think, you know, just see the Brahma Tejas, how much we have, how we have used to kill him, how powerful we are. And that fellow was talking big things. Now where is he gone? You know, we have finished him. No talk. They talk only Harikatha. Yeah, read the next one.
In those days, there were various disturbances in the country that were creating a panic in society. Therefore, all the sages began to talk amongst themselves. Since the king is dead, there is no protector in the world. Misfortune may befall the people in general on account of rogues and thieves.
Yeah, now they are talking practical matters also. Which means the sages, in the name of Krishna Katha, they don't neglect the welfare of the world. They are also concerned about the public. Now the public is suffering due to rogues and thieves. So now the sages, along with Krishna Katha, they are spending some time on practical management also. Okay, now Katha is going on, we are very happy. Although we are happy, the people are not happy. Why? Because they are attacked by rogues and thieves. So probably at the end of the Harikatha, before the meeting concludes, they are spending a little time for discussing on, you know, some little management also.
Correct.
Not that management is priority and little Harikatha, icing on the cake in the beginning or end. Whereas it's Harikatha, at the end there is little management also. They are talking. Correct, no? They are saying that, oh, now the rogues and thieves are attacking, what to do? How to, you know, solve it? How to solve this problem? They are thinking about it. Because misfortune may befall the people in general on account. See the heading? Theme?
Strong government required to keep thieves and rogues inactive.
Yeah. Okay, 38 also you read?
When the great sages were carrying on their discussion in this way, they saw a dust storm arising from all directions. This storm was caused by the running of thieves and rogues who were engaged in plundering the citizens.
Read the purport.
Thieves and rogues simply await some political upset in order to take the opportunity to plunder the people in general. To keep thieves and rogues inactive in their profession, a strong government is always required.
Yeah. Even in the pastime of Chandkazi, when Nimai Pandit called all the people made a fire torch and went on a procession, leaving their homes open. Because now the people, although they have a door, they will not lock the door. But at that time, thieves entered the house. Thieves thought that now everybody has vacated their house. It's a good time for us to steal. So they went to steal. But then the kirtan was so loud and roaring, the thieves forgot why they entered the house. They went inside the house and they were standing. And they were mesmerized by the kirtans. Then they also made one fire torch in the house and came out and joined the kirtan. Now, like that you read in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, you read like that. So, but the point is what? The thieves take advantage, like, you know, there is a saying, careless people's properties are stolen by shameless people, it is said. You know, people carelessly keep the mobile here, there, and the shameless people steal it and take it and go away, isn't it? So similarly, here it is said that as soon as the king is killed, now there is nobody in control, the thieves thought this is a good time now. That's political upset. Before the next king comes, let us loot as much as we can. Therefore, Prabhupada says, strong government required to keep thieves and rogues inactive, he says. Now we can ask.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes we face a situation that when we are preaching to few boys, one of the boys, he has a character like somewhat like Veena. He has some, privately he's doing something which is prohibited and he tries to spoil the other boys also, and we come to know through others that he's spoiling somebody. At the same time, when he comes to us, he talks very sweetly, he talks as if he's surrendered.
Yeah.
So we don't feel like correcting him on the face. And at least these people had faith in the great sages that whatever they will do is good. But if we communicate to other students about not associating with him, they consider us to be bad.
Enemy.
So how to handle these situations?
So therefore, what we do in such special cases is we separate them, divide them. Don't allow them to be together. You arrange in such a way that geographically you divide them. You take these 3-4 people and keep them here and keep him there. You tell him that, you know, that place is good for you. Because of this is reasons. You tell them that this place is good for you. And then they will ask you, Prabhuji, where is he? He is not coming nowadays to program. You say, no, we are taking separate special care of him. He is put in a special another program. So when you divide them and then allow him to come for the program also to another place. And he should come to a program where he doesn't know anyone. And these people should also come to another program where they will get used to the new people. So then this boy will not be able to spoil the new people. So then according to Shastra, this is in divide and rule, we say, no? Like you, Sama, Veda, Dhamma, you say. But the purpose of the division is to save a situation. So you want to save these people. If you tell them about him, they will go away from you. They will think that you are, you know, talking ill of him. because they have the sentimental attachment. Like if you tell Karna bad about Duryodhana, he doesn't accept. That's the same situation. Karna says, how do you say Duryodhana is very, you know, how is he bad? He will not accept. Therefore, dividing is the best thing. Therefore, Krishna, what he did, actually, when Krishna was coming out of Hastinapur, Duryodhana remained in the palace. But Krishna, instead of going in his own chariot, he requested Karna, can you drop me? You know, you will read in the Maitri Sharan Gupta has written a book, Rashmirathi. You know, so he has taken out this section of Mahabharata. So Karna said, why not? If you are asking me, I will do it. So Krishna told his chariot to go ahead. Then he went behind. And when he went up to the frontier, then he had a personal one-to-one talk with Karna and told Karna actually, see, this is not good for you to associate with. So that time he wanted to, he told the glory of joining Pandavas. And then he told him not to stay with Duryodhana. All that he said, he very logically he explained everything. Of course, Karna was sentimentally attached. Karna was not just a boy, you could put it in another room, you know. He was in the same kingdom. But boys you can put in different place. You know, when the next year comes now, academic year is coming now, take one new place and call these three people there. And this fellow will ask you, I also want to go with them. He will say, no, we have a special place for you. You have to put him in another place. And you have to have some reason for that. You can tell him, if you go there, one senior will teach you. The nice guidance he'll give you in studies. Here you won't get that guidance, so you go there. Correct, no? So therefore, in our administration, our administrative diplomacy should be for protecting people, not for exploiting people. Correct, no? Yeah. Yeah, read the next one. Next one.
Upon seeing the dust storm, the saintly persons could understand that there were a great deal of irregularities due to the death of King Vena. Without government, the state was devoid of law and order, and consequently, there was a great uprising of murderers, thieves, and rogues who were plundering the riches of people in general. Although the great sages could subdue the disturbance by their powers, just as they could kill the king, they considered it improper on their part to do so. Thus, they did not attempt to stop the disturbance.
And Prabhupada writes in the fourth line, you see, it is not the duty of brahmanas and saintly persons to kill, although they may sometimes do so in the case of an emergency. They could kill all the thieves and rogues by the prowess of their mantras, but they thought it the duty of a Kshatriya kings to do so. Thus, they reluctantly did not take part in killing business, you see. So, although the brahmanas had the power to kill thieves, they did not do so, because they were awaiting a good king who will take up that rule, instead of they only taking everything in their hands. Read the next one, 41.
The great sages began to think that although a brahmana is peaceful and impartial because he is equal to everyone, it is still not his duty to neglect poor humans. By such neglect, a brahmana's spiritual power diminishes, just as water kept in a cracked pot leaks out.
Which means, if we devotees keep on acquiring knowledge which is like a water kept in a pot, but we don't preach, then it will leak out like a cracked pot. Then our knowledge will be diminished by not preaching. Why? A person who is not preaching is considered to be a merciless person, a violent person. So Prabhupada says, what is the definition of violence? Violence means to not preach, he says. Agreed the purport?
Brahmanas, the topmost section of human society, are mostly devotees. They are generally unaware of the happenings within the material world because they are always busy in their activities for spiritual advancement.
Correct, no? Sitting in this hall, last two, three days, we are just discussing katha. We don't even know what is happening in the outside world. Correct, no? What is happening in Anil Ambani, Mukesh Ambani's place? What is GeoSim? Many devotees don't know. Correct, no? Our devotee started talking about GeoSim after His Holiness Bhakti Prem Maharaj told about GeoSim. One of the lecturers said. So, how many of you still don't know what is GeoSim? You are not very sure. These are some devotees. Yeah. Yeah. So, there are outside world, so many things are going on. Anyway, even by not knowing about GeoSim, you are not going to be withheld in going back to Godhead. You can know Krishna and go back. Therefore, he is saying here, Many generally devotees are unaware of the happenings within the material world. Correct, no? Like, you know, Twin Towers crashed once. So somebody brought me the news at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So in the evening lecture, I spoke on Twin Tower crash. Jayadev Prabhu's house and I had gone. So devotees are very happy. Prabhuji, you are talking something which happened just this morning. They were happy. So our other devotees went 1 week later to some other place. Somebody asked a question about Twin Tower crash. He asked, what Twin Tower? Where is it? And one newcomer had come to the program. He said, how can you guys not be aware of the happenings in the world? He was asking. So generally devotees are not always aware. My spiritual master was saying, in one lecture he was quoting about President of the United States. You know, people are asking, that president was 2 presidents before or something. Because people change. Now please don't talk about Barack Obama anywhere. Now Barack Obama is gone now. Who has come?
Trump
has come now. So somebody might have read in Journey Home and he may quote, Barack Obama, our president of US. People will say he was the old president, correct, no? Now a new president has come. So devotees are often unaware of the happenings within the material world because they are always busy in spiritual advancement, Prabhupada is saying. Nonetheless, read it.
Nonetheless, when there is a calamity in human society, they cannot remain impartial. If they do not do something to relieve the distressed condition of human society, it is said that due to such neglect, their spiritual knowledge diminishes.
See, that means we have to do paropakar. We should not see people smoking, drinking, you know, degrading themselves and watch it and then close our eyes and say, I will chant and go back to Godhead. That is not a devotee. A devotee should do something in order to rectify the situation of society. Yeah. Read further.
Almost all the sages go to Himalayas for their personal benefit. But Prahlad Maharaj said that he did not want the liberation alone. He decided to wait until he was able to deliver all the fallen souls of the world. In their elevated condition, the Brahmanas are called Vaishnavas. There are 2 types of Brahmanas, namely Brahmana Pandita and Brahmana Vaishnava. A qualified Brahmana is naturally very learned, but when his learning is advanced in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes Brahmana Vaishnava. Unless one becomes a Vaishnava, one's perfection of Brahmanical culture is incomplete. The saintly person considered very wisely that although King Vena was very sinful, he was born in a family descending from Dhruva Maharaj.
Okay, that point is another point. Recently when I had gone to meet Chinnajiyar Swami, so I told him that you are very amazing in your management. 450 young Gurukul boys are in your mat. How do you get so many children to join you? This thing I asked him. Then he told me, you may not be aware, he said, many of them come with one motivation. He said, what is it? He said that they come at the age of 7 and they remain in the matta till 14. 7 to 14. How many years? 7 years. So in the 7 years what they do, from the early morning up to 1 o'clock, they have a spiritual program. Agamas and all the Vedic mantras and everything they chant for 3-4 hours. They have puja, you know, archana, and so many things they do morning time. So, and then some of them learn 1 Veda, some learn 2 Vedas, like that. So after 1 o'clock, after the lunch and everything, between 2 to 5, 3 hours they study material subjects like maths, physics, you know, science, chemistry, all those things, like a school only. So then I asked him, how in 3 hours they are able to study? He said, what they teach in other schools in 8 hours, we teach in 3 hours only, he said. And children are able to catch, he said. And he said, many of his students are 9.8, 9.5, like that. They are very good pointers. He said, children are very brilliant. Especially children who study Vedas, they catch other subjects very, very easily, he said. They do that. And he said, after they finish the 7 years of study there, then I asked him, what do they do after that? Some of them join as brahmacharis or preachers. He said, that is what I would like them to do, which none of them do generally. Very few of them stay back. He said, I only got about 15-20 teachers till now, he said, from this lot. And they are teaching the other newly arrived children. Most of them become Brahmanas and they go out. So 3 things they do, he said. One is there is a government exam for those who have taken 7 years training in the Vedic Gurukul. So if they write their government exam, after which they can be sent all over Andhra and Telangana to become appointed as a pujari or something. Correct? What do you call them? Archakas. Archakas in temples. And they get about 20,000 rupees salary. 20,000-25,000 they can get. Appointed. There is an exam, I think, correct? They have to write an exam. Yeah? Ah, correct. Veda Pandit, they do that. And then they get about 20,000. So he said, this is one aspiration for which children come. He said, because they get a solid, nice job they get. In another category, they have studied the Karmi subjects also now. So they finish 8th standard, 10th standard, 12th standard, they finish. Then if they don't want to go in this line, they can go for engineering, medicine. Some of them can go like that. And the third one, neither they could do this or that, they will become Pujapat Brahmanas, correct? They go home to home, like a Purohit, whatever you get, you do. So three things you can do. So he said that people come with material motivations and it is very difficult to turn them into preachers, he was telling. So on that connection he was appreciating that in ISKCON, your Swami Prabhupada, he has attracted a lot of people to completely dedicate their lives. You know, people not only from India and abroad, all over the world, and they are becoming fully preachers, reaching out the message to different parts of the world. So he was asking us, you guys tell the people to leave everything and join ashram? He was asking. Then we told all of them don't join. A few join and others get married, we told them. So the idea is, he was telling in Vaishnava philosophy, we need preachers who can reach out this message to the people. That type of people are required very much. In fact, Prabhupada glorifies Jesus in one place, saying that Jesus' followers were also missionaries. Missionary means you take the message and reach out to people. You carry the spiritual sound vibration to the people. And then wake up the sleeping souls and put them in touch with the Lord. This is actually the main service of a Brahmana Vaishnava. And one should do that. So, otherwise, you know, people with material motivations can come to religion, which is a common pious materialism all over the world. So, therefore, Prabhupada is distinguishing the two. Brahmana Pandita and Brahmana Vaishnava. Distinguishing like that, yeah. And then, the next, read the heading, 21, the theme.
A Brahmana's spiritual power diminishes when he neglects his duty to poor humans.
So, you all know in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, example is given. In a forest pathway, when you keep walking like this, you know, grass on either side remains as it is. On the place where you walked, there is no grass. Correct, no? But in rainy season, Chaturmas time, what happens? 4 months, nobody walks. Then that place gets covered over fully. And nobody knows where the road is. Correct, no? Another example is given, like sometimes you see that the beard and the mustache and the hair grows a lot because you became very busy, you know, you didn't have time to shave up, correct, no? Similarly, that Bhagavatam says that a Brahmana's knowledge becomes covered over when he does not regularly exercise it. On the road, when you keep on going, you are regularly exercising knowledge, so the road remains. But when you don't regularly exercise the knowledge that you have studied, then what happens? Knowledge becomes covered over by the grasses cover it, like that we get covered over. So therefore, preaching is not only good for the people to whom we reach the message to, it is good for us also. This is one of the reasons, recently I have been telling Antaradi Prabhu, who is in charge of the CPB, Congregation Preachers Board. So somehow the congregation counselors and their counselees, especially young couples I am telling, they were roaring preachers in their college days. They were frontliners, facilitators, preachers, one-time program, device program, and they were caring for a lot of people, as good as what brahmacharis are doing, they were doing. But later afterwards, when they got married, they have their family duty, children, which cannot be avoided, which is also a duty, a part of the family duty. But then what happens? When you lose touch with your regular spiritual programs, preaching, reaching out to people, slowly, 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 slowly you get covered over. You don't have time to give for that. You are not exercising that side of your life. Then this side of your life takes over. The office, the home, the family responsibility. And then we get swept by the current of the worldly duties. And then after 10 years you look back, you know, oh, I was doing this, now I want to do it. Again to switch back to that mode of, you know, preaching and reaching out, distributing books. It's very difficult. Like how many of you feel if you want, even if I have 2-3 evenings free to go out for book distribution, we have some inertia to go out. How many of you feel? Correct, no? Because we are not regularly doing it. We have not exercised it. One doctor was telling those people who sit in computer like this, they cannot sometimes raise their hand beyond it. They are not able to, because the hand is not going, because they are always down only. They cannot lift the hand like this. Because they have not done it for a long time. So in the same manner, the preaching, I am not only telling for grihasthas, I am telling even brahmacharis also. As brahmacharis, if you are sitting within the four walls, you know, comfortably reading, chanting, hearing, taking care of ourselves, we will lose touch with outside world. And especially now, 4 months rainy season is going to come. You can see the beautiful rain through the window. What a beautiful rain. You know, after the rainy season, I'll go out. And then you will say, oh, now it is too cold season. Another 4 months, freezing cold. Then after the cold gets over now, in summer we will go. And summer you look out of the window, too hot now. You know? Let some rain start. Then we will see. So this is a tendency to postpone. Correct, no? How many of you feel we sometimes want to do something wonderful, but not now? Correct, no? This is a famous pastime in the material world, isn't it? You know, I want to do it, but not now. Who is that fellow? Kailash. Correct, no? Yeah. So we get Kailash consciousness instead of Krishna consciousness. Correct? So, therefore, somewhere we have to begin. See, therefore we should know, we don't have to do things perfectly. If somebody says, Prabhuji, I am dry and nicely planning, you know. I will start in such a way, you know. Once I start, there is no coming back. You tell him, I will catch you by the neck and throw you. Right now, you go now. Because, you know, you don't have to do perfectly. You do imperfectly also, but make a beginning somewhere. Because many times you will see, like even Vidyapitam, I finished 2 years and came now. Now, you know, even these themes I prepared last 2-3 days only. These themes which I put now. Because life is so tight. But still, you know, if I have to speak to all of you, I have to prepare. So it is better for us to keep ourselves in a challenging situation where we are forced to study, forced to share and prepare and everything. Then only we will be in touch with the sound vibration, spiritual sound vibration. Otherwise we take in but we don't give out. Then the example is given of a cracked pot from which all the liquid leaks out. So it's very important to us. So do we want our knowledge to leak out? Or another example, you have seen like a knife. If you keep it in the table and don't use it for 2 weeks, it gets rusted. On the other hand, you keep cutting fruits, vegetables every day, it remains always shining. So knowledge also, keep using it, our knowledge will be shining. But you keep it idle, it will rust and catch dust. Neither it says. How many of you feel it's a little frightening verse, this one, what we read just now? Correct? Little frightening verse. So better that we use our knowledge. Yeah?
No question. It is clear what you said, that we should try to share the message what we have received in our life. There is one statement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur I read somewhere, that this is one of his statements in his last days, that we are not here as social reformers to bring about a mass scale change, whatever. And also in the story of Chanakya Pandit also, we see that because of his bad experience with the Nanda dynasty, he take a oath that he will uproot them and place Mauryas in the ruling. So this kind of this, you know, boiling blood tendency is, you know.
But you only made the first part of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's statement. You didn't complete it. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, what he says, we are not social reformers here to reform the world and bring about a large scale change in the world and other things. But we are here to preach vigorously in order to change only one person. Who is that one person? Ourselves. Like that he says. So we go, like I am speaking Bhagavatam, why? Because whatever I studied in 2 years, I want to keep in touch with it and keep meditating on it. For me to meditate on it, what is the best way? To speak it. If I have to, like I am preparing these themes now. By preparing themes, I have to study deeply and pull out the vital themes. So without understanding, how can I prepare the themes? So we help ourselves by preaching. And others, if they get help, it's nice. Yeah. And if they don't take help, we have to be detached. Therefore, I told you, responsibility and
detached.
Right now, for example, say about 150 devotees are attending this program. Now, if I expect that all these 150 people should do one bhakti vaibhava and conduct for a group of people, it may not happen. If I have too much high expectation, I will get frustrated. But what is my expectation? If I do this class regularly in 2 years, you know, then I would have revised what I studied in Vidyapitam, and I benefit from it. I get purified also. And people who hear it, one of the reasons I am doing this, there is some selfish interest for me in this. You know what it is? They will bring less problems to me in future. You know? Because many fellows come to me with, Prabhuji, I have this problem, that fellow is giving me this problem. And most problems are all called in Bhagavatam as all that is troublesome to the heart. Nashtaprayeshu. So by putting up this class, what happens? Now 4 days, I don't have to hear management problems. And you speak Krishna Katha and devotees are blissfully chanting, dancing. They have no problems. Because the problems are evaporating. That is another interest I have in seeing that let devotees know the art of solving their problems themselves, rather than bringing it to me. And you can ask the devotees, it's a fact actually. Bhagavatam is empowering them to solve the problems themselves. So in this way, if you do try to do good for others, you will do good for yourself also. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says that. Like one time, His Holiness Bhaktirasanath Maharaj in Chopar temple, I asked him, Maharaj, do you have any program today? Can I come? So Sunday morning, he said, it's 10 o'clock, 10:30 I have a program. So I asked Maharaj, are you going by car? He said, no, it's a walkable distance. So in the Savan Kem Munshi Mark, in the same road, we went to that Bharati Udaya Bhavan and then walked ahead, you know, to that Sukh Sagar. So about 5 minutes walk only from the temple. So it was written outside, Kabir Wadi was written. So he took me inside. I also went. And I saw there was an elevated asana he sat. And there was a hall open to the sky, hall. That kind of hall was there. And in one corner, there were about 8 or 10 people were sitting. And all touching the wall, they were sitting. And nobody was sitting close. They were all sitting in the corner. You know, because it was a temple, Kabir Wadi. You know, all Kabir Ke Dohe were written on the walls like that. And the youngest man in the crowd must have been 80-year-old. You know? They were all 80 plus. Most of them had broken bodies. They were sitting, you know, very, very dull looking. Half of them had eyes closed. I wasn't sure whether they are awake or asleep. They were sitting. And Maharaj opened the Ishopanishad book. Ishavasyamidam sarvam. With full enthusiasm he was speaking. You know. Then I was looking here, there. After the program was over, while going back, I asked, Maharaj, what kind of program is this? He said, Maharaj said, they have invited me for giving class on Ishopanishad. 18 shlokas, I have to do it here. One week, one shloka, they have told me to do. But Maharaj, you are doing very wonderfully, but I am little doubtful whether these fellows will take it up seriously. The way they look so gaudy, they don't chant Harikrishna also. Nobody has any tilak. And sometime when Maharaj will speak, one fellow will raise hand and release one Kabir Ke Dohe. In between. And he will only give comment. They don't ask any questions. So I asked Maharaj, what is the earthly benefit, Maharaj, with such a program? You know, Maharaj said, yeah, I understand. There is only one benefit. What is it? I wanted to learn Ishopanishad. He said, actually, I have studied it once. Now I want to remember all the examples, he said. So if I go and give here, it's a good revision time for me. And Maharaj said, generally in this world, difficult to get people to sit and listen. These people are at least coming to sit. So your point is also valid.
Your point is clear, Prabhuji. Yeah. My question was, this in the life of Chanakya, what we see, taking a oath to bring about a change.
Correct.
So how much is Vaishnavism support?
Vaishnavism is all about that. If you see, Prabhupada went to America, his guru told him, go to the Western world and preach in English language. Why did he tell him? Okay, did Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur expect that Prabhupada goes to America and sits and studies Bhagavatam and comes back?
No, Prabhupada.
He wanted him to preach. Correct, no?
One thing is we do our best.
Yes. We do our best, correct.
And see, another thing is to taking a oath and bring about a change in the sense of revolutionary mentality.
Oh, revolutionary mentality is rooted in Vaishnava Siddhanta. You see, Ramanujacharya is climbing on the top of the Gopuram and calling all the people and saying Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha, correct, no? Even he is ready to go to hell for millions of lifetimes, correct, no? He is ready, and then his guru embraced him. And you take Jesus for example. Jesus says, one boy came and told him, I want to join your missionary movement, only problem is my grandfather has died, he said. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, you come with me, he said. What is the meaning of dead bury the dead? Your grandfather is dead, and the other people who are not Krishna conscious, they are also dead. So let the dead bury the dead, you come with me. Similarly, when Peter, Jesus helped him to catch fish, huge mountainous quantity of fish, he helped him catch. Peter asked, Sir, what can I do for you? You have done so much for me. He said, and then Jesus looked at him and asked, do you really mean? Peter said, yes. He said, instead of being a fisherman of fishes, become a fisherman of men. Follow me, he said. So what is the meaning of this fisherman of men? Fisherman of fishes, we know very well, Machwara. Fisherman of men means, all the jivas are compared to fish delighting in the ocean of material enjoyment. So take the jivas out of the ocean of material enjoyment, so their material life is finished, spiritual life is awakened. Take them back to Godhead. So become a fisherman of men, he told them. So you take Ramanujacharya, you take our Jesus, you take Haridas Thakur, you take Prahlad Maharaj, you take Vasudev Datta, you take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Maya, Mrigam, Daitam, Epsitam, Anbadhavad, you take Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you take Bhaksantasi Thakur. If you see in the line, our Srila Prabhupada, so we can list, give a long list of missionary people. Even Madhvacharya traveling all over India and preaching, you take Ramanujacharya. Now Chinnajir Swami, the other day we got the activity, correct, now Vatali is doing all over the world. So even our Puri, what Maharaj, Pejavar Mat Swami in Madhva Sampradaya even today. Actually Vaishnava philosophy means, you know, not complacently sitting within the four walls and doing bhajan oneself, but going out and taking compassion on the suffering souls and giving them some Krishna consciousness. Actually what we people are doing, it's not preaching at all in one sense. As well as Bhakti Charu Maharaj said, preaching in India means sense gratification, he said. Because he said, India is Punya Bhumi. You know, you slip and fall, there is a devotee ready for you, standing next to you. You can make devotee in India easily. Whereas he said, preaching in the, if Africa and all, there are so much thievery and murder and everything. In those places, preaching is not very easy. You preach in America, now preaching to the whites. Ideally speaking, Prabhupada says, I can show you quotes from CC. Prabhupada says, Indian means you have to take training here and go out of India and preach in America. America and Europe, China and such places. That is real preaching. What we are doing is only warming up now. There is so much more to do now. That is real preaching. And Prabhupada himself did that. He left India and went to the West. Only we have to complete this. Quickly, next verse. Yeah, next.
The great sages began to think that although a Brahmana is peaceful and impartial because he is equal to everyone, it is still not his duty to neglect poor humans. By such a neglect, okay, this is done. The sages decided that the descendants of the family of saintly King Anga should not be stopped, for in this family the semen was very powerful and the children were prone to become devotees of the Lord.
So in the purport, first line, Prabhupada says, Amogha Virya, the purity of hereditary succession, he is saying. So I have given the heading there, the purity and potency of a lineage. Sometimes it is seen that somebody coming in a lineage has the power and potency of the lineage, like Pandava's descendant was Parikshit, powerful descendant, powerful king. Similarly, people sometimes attach importance. You will find Balramji is telling Romaharshana Sutta that you are born of Pratiloma marriage, not Anuloma marriage. So because you are born of mixed caste, you are showing such a behavior, he says. Krishna is calling Arjuna as Kaunteya. You are born of Kunti. Therefore, Kunti is tolerant and you should be tolerant. So he is using this Kaunteya word in 2.14 verse while talking about tolerance. Similarly, he is saying, using the word Bharata. You are coming in the Bharata's dynasty. So in this way, we can see the lineage is given importance. somebody coming in a particular lineage has the added advantage of coming in a particular lineage, which means the auspiciousness or the good qualities or special unique abilities of a particular person coming in a lineage, that advantage gets added up to the existing person in the lineage. So now they were thinking that Vena, the sages very intelligently thought like this. Vena's body is made up of combination of two. That is, virya from the body of Anga, and mixed with the ovum, mixed in the, with this thing of Sunita. So they were thinking that when the virya of Anga was put in the womb of Sunita, at that time it became polluted. Otherwise, the semen was actually pure, which came from Anga's body, because Anga is very special soul. Now they thought that we will separate the contamination from the virya of Anga. If we do that, then, and if we can get only the Anga's virya separated out, from that if we produce, we will be able to get powerful descendant. So this was the plan, and therefore you will find, read the next one, 43.
After making a decision, the saintly persons and sages churned the thighs of the dead body of King Vena with great force and according to a specific method. As a result of this churning, a dwarf-like person was born from King Vena's body.
So this dwarf person represents the impurity arising from Sunita's touch. Correct, no? Okay, read the next one, 44.
This person born from King Vena's thigh was named Bahuka, and his complexion was black as crows. All the limbs of his body were very short, his arms and legs were short, and his jaws were large. His nose was flat, his eyes were reddish, and his hair copper colored.
Very specific details are given, huh? How Bahuka. So he was a Nishada community. And read the next one.
He was very submissive and meek, and immediately after his birth, he bowed down and inquired, "Sirs, what shall I do?" The great sages replied, "Please sit down." Thus Nishada, the father of Naishada race, was born.
They used the Sanskrit word to make him sit down. He was standing and asking, "What should I do?" They said, "Sit down," they said. So that Nishida, that only became Nishada later on. Nishada race. Next.
After his birth, he immediately took charge of all the resultant actions of King Vena's sinful activities. As such, this Naishada class are always engaged in sinful activities like stealing, plundering and hunting. Consequently, they are only allowed to live in hills and forests.
Read the purport first 3-4 lines.
The Naishadas are not allowed to live in cities and towns because they are sinful by nature. As such, their bodies are very ugly and their occupations are also sinful. We should, however, know that even sinful men who are sometimes called Kiratas can be delivered from their sinful condition to topmost Vaishnava platform by the mercy of a pure Vaishnava.
Correct. Kirata Hunanda Palinda Palakasha Abhirashamba. That's the verse. So, Prabhupada says everyone can be delivered. So, in this way, Nishada, when he was born, he took away the sinful reactions of the Sunita's contribution. So what remains is only Anga's pure pure lineage now is remaining. So now Nishada was brought out from the thigh churning. So now they will churn the hand. So above the navel is considered pure in our body. Below the navel is Muchi. So below navel is Muchi, above navel is Shuchi. So from Muchi, Nishada was born and he took away all the sinful reactions. And so the upper part of the body, from the hand, Prithu and Archi were brought out by churning, which is coming in the subsequent chapter. So what you will do, go back, go to the Subodhini, 15th chapter. So first 14th chapter, quickly we will see the overall flow and then we will come to 15th chapter. Page number 105, go to page number 105. So if you see, there is a flow chart given there. So Vena's atrocities, that is the first thing explained. The sages enthroned Vena to keep the rogues and thief under control, but Vena becomes proud and prohibited religious activities. And then the sages are concerned to go and meet Vena and pacify him. So they try to talk to him. Now sages try to pacify Vena. And then Vena gave arrogant reply. And the sages understood that he is offender of the Supreme Lord. They kill Vena. And then Sunita preserves his body. And then the sages observe disturbance on the thieves in the kingdom. Now they are finding out what can be done in order to get another king. So they are churning the thigh of Vena and produced Bahuka. This is the overall flow of the previous chapter.